Well, here we are, Doc. We're going to try to bring a conclusion to this 1 Corinthians 15 today.
Really?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe.
We'll take a shot.
Yeah. Well, we have 8 verses to run through here. Well, a little more than that.
Yeah.
11.
But,
12.
Man, where we ended up last time.
Yeah, come on.
Was so amazing.
Yeah.
Because Paul just brings into the whole discussion this first Adam and last Adam stuff.
Right.
Which is huge. I mean, it is.
You know, when you first read these passages, and you're reading through it for the first time, you've never, right, you get all like, what is going on here? This immortal, mortal, spiritual, flesh, and he's really throwing it down for you to understand it, but can you get it when you're in the milk all the time? I mean, this is like, right? Like there's a graduation that's happening into the mind and the heart of a believer when he starts reading through this particular passage.
Right.
What Christ really does and what Adam really did when he fell, but what Christ restored back to us, right?
Right. And what God does when God puts in a beautiful plan, a creation, a man and a woman and a beautiful garden and this whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's perfect.
Yeah.
Except man blows it. It's like, really? How can that happen? Well, we know. We talked about it last time.
We did.
The enemy gets in there and does the deceiving and all that stuff. But still, God is not like us. I mean, we'd have to go on to like, well, a whole repair deal here, you know, maybe we can cobble this in over here and do the No, God said, all right, the first Adam blew it, so you can have thousands of years of human history. But I've got another Adam coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first Adam did not get the job done. So we're gonna have to have a second Adam. Dude, that's powerful.
It is.
It absolutely is.
With it running along the lines of willful, Jesus willfully goes to the cross.
Right.
That we willfully lay down our own sin. We willfully lay down the fact that, look, the flesh brings me hardly any benefit other than when I go down to Shamrock's to get a good burger and some dry rub chicken wings.
Ooh.
Baby. Ooh, come on.
Baby.
Yeah. Guess who's fasting today?
Yeah. All right. So that's what verse 45 was all about. The first man, Adam, became a living being or a living soul when God created him. But the last Adam became a life-giving spirit.
Man, I like the way that's written too. Is that what it says in the Greek? Life-giving spirit?
Well, let's take a look.
It probably does.
I would expect so.
I would expect it. Restoring the dead to life.
Yes.
Right?
The last Adam is a life-giving spirit. Yeah.
Man, and it's so true. So true.
And it's not just any kind of life. Now, here's a place, you know, people give all these distinctions between Greek words and then they build theology on it, but here is a place where two different Greek words are really important, zoe and bios. Bios is physical life, earthly life.
Zoe.
Zoe is spiritual life. And that's what Jesus gives.
And that is that life-giving spirit when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that he is.
Right.
That transfer comes into us. That's mind-boggling. It just is.
It is. Right, so then 46, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural.
Yep.
And afterward, the spiritual.
Yep.
All of us were born into this world.
Yep.
And there we were. And every one of us chose sin. So there we were floundering around. And, but the spiritual came, the life-giving, last Adam came, Jesus. So the first man was of the earth, made of dust, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
The second man is the Lord from heaven.
Right.
But you got to have both. God's working out a plan here that Satan tried to derail in,
right.
in the garden.
Good. Expound on that.
Yeah.
That's good.
It is, because God's still getting his plan done. Yeah, Satan, you know, he had a certain victory over us there. He did grab the authority back, and he had it until Jesus came and took it away from him. But it's broken, fallible human beings. And I still say, this. We said this in our show prep here a little while ago, this is going to be Jesus' victory, what he's going to throw in the face of Satan at the second coming.
Right, right.
I mean, you know, you think in terms of heaven, and heaven looks at this whole thing. For Jesus to defeat the devil, it's kind of what you expect. You know, the son of God, the son of man, the Lord, the second person of the Trinity.
Right.
You know, I mean, the devil is this created being. But Jesus is going to say, no, I defeated you with these human beings that you thought you came and got for yourself. I used them to defeat you.
Dude,
that's heavy.
I like that.
It's true.
I want to be one of them.
I am. You are one of
them.
Listeners, you are those people.
Keep pressing into this.
Defeat disease. Defeat sin. Expose sin out to where it can be seen.
Hallelujah.
Cast out demons. The whole package.
Yeah.
It's all there.
Man, this is good.
Yeah.
Okay,
all
so.
Right, so the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven.
49,
as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. We're never going to get away from that in this life on this earth. We're flesh and blood. Don't go winging off into this, well, we're these manifested sons of God, you know. Next time you run into one of those, ask them if they still need plumbing. There are people that teach us, I'm glorified here on the earth right now. No, you're not.
No.
You're in a flesh and blood
You still need toilet paper.
You still need to eat. You know, you can stop eating for times to fast, but you still need to eat. You still need to drink water. Right?
Amen. Amen.
That's where we're from. But as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly.
Right.
So we're from both realities.
We are. Dual citizenship.
Right. And that's why our victory over the devil means something.
Yeah.
God doesn't just zap it in there and say, okay.
Right.
No, it's a war. There are individual battles in the war.
Yeah, there's a participation.
And we're winning.
We are.
Yes.
Absolutely, we're winning.
All right. Verse 49, as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now that is future.
Mm.
This earthly physical body is going to be transformed at the resurrection, which is a part of the second coming of Jesus. And this is where it gets, these next verses here, where it really gets cooking.
I know. Right? I know, yeah. I mean, it comes to a full boil.
Oh, my word. Yeah, absolutely. So, the image of the heavenly man. So then Paul's going to lay it out here in just a few verses. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Now hold on a minute.
Yeah, come on.
Pete, I think I've heard you tell me.
What?
That we inherit the kingdom of God here and now in these bodies, in this earth. The kingdom of God is here.
It is
kingdom
here.
The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
It's at hand.
Well, what's going on here then? Explain this to me.
Now I say this, believers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit nor be a part of the kingdom, nor does the perishable, the mortal, inherit the imperishable. See, this is what I'm talking about. like to be able to digest that, you're looking at this.
It's big.
It's sitting on your plate. You got a knife and a fork, and you're trying to separate this out. So help us with this.
Okay, so there's the kingdom of God that is proper for this present age. The gospel of the kingdom.
Which we preach.
Proclaim repentance. Heal the sick.
Cast out demons.
The whole deal, right? But there's the kingdom of God that is only going to happen in the events of the second coming and beyond. The age to come.
Yeah, the Revelation 19
And you
got
to keep those two in balance with each other.
Right.
And that's what he's talking about here is the age to come. That flesh and blood cannot inherit that aspect of the kingdom of God.
Right. You now have to be not only born again of spirit, right?
But what he's going to describe next, there's going to be a literal bodily transformation.
Yeah,
behold,
yeah.
I tell you a mystery.
Yes.
We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
And it says that it was previously hidden.
Right, right. And now that's not just a poster. Sherry and I used to go to a church where they had that up in the baby nursery.
Yeah.
That as a poster, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
And we were like, wow.
Well, kind of put a different meaning to
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah. No, what it means is we're not all going to die. Some of us are going to live in our physical life on this earth right up to the second coming of Jesus.
And then be quickened.
Yeah. Yes.
Or turned, right?
We
changed.
Shall be changed.
Transformed.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Not at the first trumpet, Pete, but at the which trumpet?
The last one.
How could that be?
Well, it happens.
Well, that's what Paul says.
Isn't that interesting?
In some theologies, this happens at the first trumpet. Remember the trumpets in the book of Revelation? You know, there's seven of them.
Yeah.
Right? Well,
right.
Paul says it's at the last trumpet. Here we go.
But is that usual and customary?
Yeah.
What? Okay.
Yeah, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This is when Jesus comes. In fact, let's read it in Revelation 19. This is so powerful. The way John describes it out of the book of Revelation, chapter 19.
Those are the pages turning of the Gutenberg.
This is not digital.
19.
Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire.
Mm-hmm.
On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew but himself. Who do you think this is, Pete?
This is Jesus.
Okay.
I'm on it.
He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
Yeah.
The armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses.
Mm.
Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. What do you think that is?
That is the Word of God.
That is a word. One word.
One
comes
word?
Out of Jesus' mouth.
Man, what would that one word be?
Dude.
Let it be so. Amen. Hallelujah.
That with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. Hallelujah. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. This is the harvest of the earth. This is it on the great day of the Lord. This is Jesus. He has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But then the birds are called to come.
Oh, my.
In this picture, yep. And the beast and all that stuff. But that part of the description of the second coming is so awesome, because that's where Paul has us here in 1 Corinthians 15.
Yeah,
the trumpet
something?
Will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
It is. Even the fact that both Paul and John, first Paul's writing this, and then later on, John's actually describing what it is that Paul is referring to here, right? I mean,
it is
like putting these things together.
Yeah.
And when was First Corinthians written, and Revelation was written? What, 92?
AD? I think, actually, I'm an early date guy for Revelation.
Revelation?
So I think 69.
69.
Yeah.
And where are you putting Corinthians?
53.
Still a good jump of years
between
those boys. Mm-hmm. All right. So 53.
For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. In other words, and Paul says this in another way in 1 Thessalonians, we could look at that as well, but Paul is saying human history is going to go along, is appointed unto man once to die, after that to judgment, but a generation is going to be on the earth that has a collision with the second coming of Jesus himself.
Right.
And at that point, there's going to be no more dying for Christians. Boom, you're changed directly out of this physical mortal body into that spiritual immortal body that you're going to be in, you're going to occupy for all of eternity.
You notice my eyebrows are way up, right?
I did.
Because that's really an amazing thing.
Oh.
You're just kind of going along.
It is.
I can't even get my head around it.
Okay. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written,
come on,
death is swallowed up in victory.
Hallelujah.
O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Jesus has taken all the sting out of it. He's taken all the victory out of death and has exchanged it for life.
Right.
In fact, let's look at that in 1 Thessalonians. The way Paul describes it there also helps you see the big picture of this, right?
Yeah.
In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Paul says this in verse 13,
right.
I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. In other words, there's the euphemism again, right? They have died, okay? Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. And again, that's those who have died and have now gone to heaven.
Right.
For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, just like we read in Revelation 19.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord.
Therefore, comfort and encourage one another with these words.
Yes, sir.
That is comforting.
So, there is a state of existence that the saints who are in heaven have now that needs to be completed by the events of the resurrection. They are, and some people teach that they're like disembodied spooks, just and that's not biblical either. That's Plato. That's not Bible.
Right.
Okay, seriously.
Yeah.
In fact, Paul teaches about this too in 2 Corinthians, which we probably should look at in just a minute here. But what we gain there from 1 Thessalonians 4 is the dead in Christ are going to rise first.
Right.
And then we're going to follow them. And there is going to be a literal flying through the air to be in this place up in the sky where Jesus is.
Right.
Gathered together to him to meet the Lord in the air.
Hallelujah.
And then, of course, if you're pre-tribulation, then you think everybody just flies back to heaven. if you're not pre-trib, if you just believe that it's a unity, a whole unity of things that happen all together, Jesus gathers everybody together, and boom, we come down here to the earth and start kicking butt.
Yeah,
and
I'll be right back.
And has set up his kingdom here on earth.
Do you get to shout down like, as you're going up, like you're in this, that you're having an argument with some guy or something or whatever, right? I'll be right back.
Oh, man.
Okay.
So, but one question that can arise is, okay, so these people that Jesus is bringing back with him.
Yeah.
Remember the armies of heaven in 19 and the dead in Christ in 1 Thessalonians 4. What is their state of existence? So we learn about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Doc, you're putting a cherry on the top of this right now.
Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians 5?
Right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says this.
Verse 1.
For we know that if our earthly house, this tent.
Yep.
And what a metaphor for the body. It's a tent. We live in a tent.
Yeah.
It's temporary.
Yeah.
It's real. And it shelters and protects us, but it's temporary.
Expand my tent pegs, Lord.
Well,
I'm kind of doing that on my own.
Yeah, yeah. You do that when you eat those ice cream sundaes. You know, that.
Right. Oh, no.
Well, if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Ooh.
For in this, that is this present earthly body, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven.
Wow. Yeah.
If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now, that is so important. Because when we die, we do not just become this naked spirit that's out there floating around. You know how the movies
right.
and all the, you know, even common understanding in Western civilization that many people just unconsciously adhere to. Well, you know, they died and they're floating around, you know, and they needed revenge with this person.
Yeah.
They all this, you know, all this junk. And it's not true.
No.
The believer, when they die, they are clothed upon, literally from the Greek, for their life and existence in heaven. It's a body of some kind. Now, we don't fully understand exactly what it's like, but this is what he says, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared us for this various thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So, when you die before Jesus comes in the second coming, your spirit is released from your body, but you get a heavenly body at that time. You're not a disembodied spook wandering around either on earth or heaven.
No.
You are in a heavenly body. Those people in that state, Jesus brings with him because they're to conclude this thing and summarize it all up. God has chosen. There's going to be a raising. There is a contact with what was here. First the man of dust, then the man from heaven.
Right.
God's not going to leave that business unfinished. And there's going to be a fitting of the people from heaven coming with Jesus for even more equipping of them with an immortal body to do things on this earth.
Man, that's going to be a spectacular sight.
But those who live right up to the second coming and don't die get it all at once.
Right, right.
That's what's really amazing.
Right, they don't literally.
That's back in 1 Corinthians 15 now then.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Because that's what I think Paul wants us to understand.
There's a big train coming.
So, death, where's your sting? Hades, where's your victory?
Right.
Death can't win. Hell can't win. Satan can't win. He'll struggle. He'll tempt. He'll try to deceive. He'll kick around and do his stuff. But this is what's going to happen. And this resurrection is going to be the ultimate victory over death, hell, and the grave. And Paul says here, the sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Hallelujah. Man alive.
What a future that is in front of us.
Yeah, well, there's our victory, right?
Right.
Who gives us the victory. You can write that down somewhere, listener. You have been given. You're victorious even now, but you're going to be given the victory.
And it's so important, the way this passage started out, it's so important to grasp there's a proper manifestation of the kingdom of God now.
Right.
In the gospel of the kingdom.
Right.
Salvation of souls, healing of bodies, casting out demons.
Yes.
All those things happening in this present age now as we live. But the future of the kingdom of God is this absolute triumph over death, over sin, the grave, the whole thing. And to stand in an immortal body that can live on heaven or earth.
Yeah, dude. don't you want to be a part of that?
Oh,
like you can.
I do.
Right, but I mean, even to push on, listener, to keep pushing into this, because I mean, you can say, hey, you know what? I led one person to the Lord, or you could say, I led a classroom to the Lord. I was baptizing people in the Holy Ghost when I was 17 years old. Like there's a part of doing a small part and gathering up with him. Who gets the privilege? Because that sounds like a privilege to me almost, right? That you're going to be taken from the earth in that moment that we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. As Jesus has come, there are those guys. Man, it's going to be a yahoo. Man alive.
It's going to be amazing.
Woo!
Then we can always throw in, to conclude this whole thing out, Jesus' own words.
What?
Of that day and hour knows no man, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son.
Right.
In the incarnation, Jesus didn't even know what the day was when that is all going to happen and all come down.
It's more, it's
the Father
about,
knows,
it's
and
about.
Jesus may know now, but...
souls are pretty important to him.
So what's taken so long, Pete?
People Jesus, keep having babies.
Jesus said those words in probably, what was it, about 28, 29 A.D.? Right. And here we are still here.
Yeah.
Still waiting.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. There are.
Do you think when Jesus said those words and when Paul wrote these things, do you think people said, well, you know, I'm sure glad that Pete Cooper and David Nichols are going to live in 2022, so we don't have to worry about any of this happening in our lifetime. Were people saying that?
I don't think so.
No.
No, I think they were just as zealous as we are.
They were.
Just more people on the planet right now.
And there is enough power and glory and authority in this hope.
Yeah.
That, look, you're either going to be in one of two groups as a believer. You're either going to die first, and you're going to be with these people that come riding on the horses back with Jesus.
Yeah.
And the dead in Christ rise first.
That sounds victorious.
And you get fitted for life on this earth as well as heaven.
Yep.
In an immortal body. Or you're in that group that's alive when Jesus comes back. There's the two possibilities.
That's win-win.
I think so. Absolutely. And it's amazing. Well, I think we should pray for our listeners, Pete.
Yeah.
As we wrap this up, because this, what's so important, what Paul says here, that we are immovable.
We are.
We will not move from this. You know, the world, the intellectuals and academia and science and all that other, well, that resurrection from the dead. I mean, yeah, really, you know. Yeah, really. You know, it's going to happen.
You can say the same thing about wokeism.
Right. And Jesus proved it by raising from the dead himself. as yeah. the Father reached down into that tomb and brought him out of there on the third day.
Yeah, the world wants to have its way.
Well,
and as we're hearing, as what academia has been producing, right?
Right.
What side do you want to be on?
Ooh.
You may have just clicked into this program. You may have only been here for a little while. But I assure you, I'm sitting here with a man who comes from academia to the highest degree with a PhD. And what more can there be to achieve in this life unless you were chasing down manna or money, right? Mammon.
Right, right.
Like, you could be filthy rich in all this, but in the end, it doesn't put you in either one of the groups that we were just talking about.
That's right.
You have to be born again.
You'd be in the third group heading for the other place, and you don't want to be there.
No, under a rock. You're yeah. pretty much in hiding.
Right. And then when you die, you are the devil's prize because he's got you for all eternity.
Oh, that's
And that's
nasty.
Real, too. That's subject for another day, but it's real.
It's nasty.
So, Father, we just come to you today, and we thank you for these precious listeners out
yeah.
there, Lord. I just pray for each one of them right now.
Yes, Lord.
That your Holy Spirit would just come and rest upon them.
Yes.
And those that know you mm-hmm. and walk with you, that they would be so encouraged today to know they're going to be in one of these two groups. They're either going to come back riding with Jesus on the white horses, or they're going to live right up until the day and the hour. And they're gonna rise up, and this resurrection is gonna change everything. And Father, those that are listening, hear it right now, and don't really know you, I pray for them too. I ask that you would give them a heart of repentance. I ask that you would give them a heart to seek you
yes.
and to find you, and to be found in you,
yes.
as their salvation and their life. And we thank you for this, yes. Father. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, if you'd like to know more, if you have a topic that you'd like for us to discuss, go ahead and add something into the comments, and we'll surely take a look at it. Not that we're running out of stuff, because we do have a list of things that we're kind of looking at right now.
Right.
And it would just be interesting to see what our listeners would like to learn more about.
Exactly. And if you want to participate in the ministry financially, you want to sow a seed, just go to our website, www.heartofthefather.net. You will find a donate button there. And just follow through the steps, and it'll lead you right in.
Right. You can give a one-time offering. It's a one-time donation, or you can set up for reoccurring,
right.
which is a great thing. But also, if you just look in the comments below, our link to donate is right there for you to just click on it. It'll take you right out to Square, and you can bring in a donation there. You know, we are doing work all over the world, Doc.
Right.
I mean, right now we've got 3 trips scheduled to move into Africa. And we just received money
mm-hmm.
To fund that first trip.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be boring a well. And we've got a 5-night crusade, and we also have a pastor's conference that'll be scheduled in the region that we'll be doing the crusade in
right.
with who knows how many pastors. I mean, it always seems to vary from anywhere from 150 to 50.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good work, and if you would like to be a part of that work, if you can't get to Africa, well, you can certainly help this organization do that.
Mm.
You know, we are very respectful of the time that people give to us, and we're very respectful of the money that comes in to Heart of the Father, and that we are continuing to do the work of an evangelist and to train up the people of God to go where they need to go, to spread the gospel.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.